It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable Dusty Johnson, representing the state of South Dakota. He's on the House Ag Committee and the ranking member of the Subcommittee on Nutrition and Oversight. And your business card has gotten pretty long, hasn't it?
Well, I didn't expect that. I mean, I'm just a little baby congressman. I've only been here 5 months, but it makes me feel a little better knowing this is a town where want to and hustle still means you can get in the right rooms to have meaningful conversations.
Speaking of that, this is not your first time here in D.C. because if I remember correctly, you spent some time was it South Building or Winton Building?
Yeah, back in the 1990s, I was just kind of a bureaucrat working for USDA, and it was a good experience, I think, to understand how few folks in Washington really understand production ag. There are a lot of folks, good people who care in Washington, but some of them don't know the difference between sorghum and soybeans and sunflowers, and that means that they sometimes don't get a good understanding of how important those products can be to the health of this country and, frankly, to the world. If we're going to feed the world, you know, American practices are going to lead the way, and there are fewer and fewer rural members of Congress, unfortunately.
Well, you mentioned sorghum, you mentioned sunflowers, you mentioned products you're growing in the state. Good place to start here would be the state of South Dakota in 2019. Where are you at?
Well, obviously, we're in a fifth year of declining farm revenues, and that is a tough place to be. You know, these producers are big boys, big girls. They've been used to making, you know, million-dollar decisions and kind of working their way through adversity. So a month, 2-3 months ago, people were a little frustrated, but I think they viewed this as a business challenge. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, boy, the tone has really changed. People have gotten downright nervous because rainy days turned into rainy weeks, and we had a hard time, have had a hard time getting into the field. Now, I would tell you, my farmer buddies have told me they've gotten more done in the last 5 days than they had gotten done in the 5 weeks prior to that, but we're not out of the woods yet. And if people can't get into the field, you know, Prevent Plant is nice revenue assurance, but Prevent Plant doesn't put anywhere near enough feed in the bellies of beef and dairy cattle. We got some work to do yet.
So we can grow it, but we have to sell it. That opens the door to talk trade, and specifically, you've got a partner just north of you, Canada, but the USMCA.
Oh, USMCA is a big deal. We need to get this done. I mean, NAFTA has been great for American agriculture. I mean, we are a net, we have a net trade surplus when it comes to agricultural products. And really, Canada and Mexico lead the way in buying American products. In the last 25 years, we've gone from selling $11 billion worth of ag goods to those countries to $45 billion. And I think there's room to grow on that. And the USMCA is clearly better than NAFTA. You can't argue that it's not. Now, you can argue that maybe it needs to be better, but it is clearly better, and we need to get that thing across the finish line. The president and his team have done a better job than I expected of negotiating USMCA. You know, if we can get that thing done, independent analysts say that's going to add $68 billion of real GDP growth to this country and 176,000 new jobs. We have got to get this thing on the floor.
Well, so we can sell the products internationally, but also building markets here at home, pretty important as well. You've been doing some work on getting local beef in schools. What's happening there?
Well, I think this is incredibly important, and frankly, this program has worked with vegetables and fruit. This is the farm-to-school program, and it's existing, and it's shown to work. It makes kids feel a deeper connection culturally with locally sourced fruits and vegetables. It makes them more likely to eat them. I mean, studies have shown that. The program has not done as much with protein as we would like, and so South Dakota is a beef and bison powerhouse. We certainly have our fair share of great pork as well. Those are the kinds of locally sourced products that we could be getting into the schools to a greater degree. And so the bill that I introduced here just a few days ago would make it clear to USDA that they need to prioritize, with the dollars within that existing program, locally sourced protein. It would be a good deal for American school children. And I know we get further and further away from the farm each generation, too many of us. This is an opportunity culturally to keep people connected with how their food is raised.
I want to bring us full circle because we started by talking about the tough situation in South Dakota, which is happening really nationwide at different levels. But it's a bipartisan effort that you're involved in called the FEED Act. Can you tell us?
Yeah, I think most members of Congress, even if they're urbanites, have some understanding that in farm country, if you're growing corn, you're growing beans, it's been a very wet year, and that that's created some challenges. I'm not sure most members have as deep an understanding of the fact that there is simply not enough forage out there, and that as we go into a season where we're not going to have anywhere near as big a corn crop as we're used to, that's going to put more pressure on what is going in the bellies of these cattle. And in South Dakota, we have 5 million beef and dairy cattle, and the producers I'm talking to are not quite sure where they're getting that feed. So what we want to do is just provide flexibility for producers to help themselves. They're not looking for another government program. I mean, they cannot feed these cattle dollar bills. But if they can put their cattle into these fields earlier than they normally would, I mean, if you've got a prevent plant cover crop situation, the rules right now say you can't turn them loose until November 1st. During emergency situations like this year, if we could move that to September 1st, we give people real flexibility to help themselves. That's what this bill would do. It is a strong bipartisan move. It is hard to get anything done in Congress, but I think we've got a real shot. And just as importantly as if the legislation moves on its own, that would be good. But if we can put enough pressure on RMA and USDA to find the flexibility administratively to do this, that would be a win as well.
But when you look at the crystal ball for what's still ahead, year and a half, what do you see coming down the road?
Well, I think for producers, you know, what they always want is a farm bill that's predictable and that has been well implemented. We're working on that. I mean, we passed the farm bill last year. We got to get it implemented. Well, we're making progress. Number two, they want market access. More than almost anything, they want market access. And we're making headway. If we get USMCA done this year, if we can get China squared away and make the kind of progress on that that we need to make, then they're going to have large new markets that are going to help them feed the world and move forward. And then finally, producers just, they want to be in a common sense regulatory environment. And we are every single day, this administration is making real progress there. And so if we can get the weather, if we can get the commodity prices to cooperate, I think long term producers are going to have an opportunity to build a real living. We got some work to do in D.C., but I think the crystal ball says that this is still going to be a career that can make people happy and productive.
Great to see you. Wish you the best. Again, it's the Honorable Dusty Johnson, representing South Dakota, member of the House Ag Committee, on today's Agribusiness Report.